Ephesians chapter 6, beginning with verse 23. Peace be to the brothers and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with love incorruptible. Thank you, Father, for these two short verses. As we study these this week and next, I pray that it would help us to understand better what you want from us and to put that into practice. In Jesus' name, amen. A woman invited several people to come to her house for dinner, and she worked furiously all day long to be ready for that meal. After the guests had arrived and all were seated around the table, she turned to her six-year-old daughter, Sally, and she said, "Would you like to say the blessing?" "I wouldn't know what to say," Sally replied. And Mom answered, "Just say what you hear Mommy say." So Sally bowed her head and said, "Dear Lord, why on earth did I invite all these people to dinner?" The last two verses of Ephesians compose a blessing or a benediction, to use a much more formal expression. Benediction actually comes from the Latin and means to speak words which convey to another a desire for their good. Or to use a simpler expression, it's a blessing. A benediction is a blessing. To bless. The idea of pronouncing blessings on others is a common theme found throughout the Bible. Isaac blessed Jacob, who became Israel. Israel blessed his sons. Aaron, the high priest, was given instruction to regularly bless God's chosen people. Moses blessed the Israelites. Solomon blessed all the people who were gathered. In almost every one of his letters, Paul begins with a blessing and concludes with a blessing. This is true in Ephesians. So going back to the opening verses of Ephesians, chapter 1, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and are faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul opens his letter with a blessing, grace and peace. And then we come to the last two verses of this book after 4.5 years. Peace be to the brothers and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with love incorruptible. In both 1st and 2nd Peter, the Apostle Peter uses benedictions to bless his readers. The Apostle John often includes words of blessing to his readers. You'll find that in his little epistles, 2 John and 3 John, as well as in the book of Revelation. Likewise, Jude expresses blessings for his readers. And indeed, Jesus himself blessed the little children who were gathered around him. Well, since Paul wraps up Ephesians with a benediction, then let's spend some time considering pronouncing a blessing and how that applies to our lives today. And we're going to do this by answering several questions. So using your study guide to follow along, our first question is this: what is a blessing? What is a blessing? And our answer is that in essence, a blessing is a prayer for God's goodness in the life of another. It's not that complicated. A blessing is a prayer for God's goodness in the life of another. And I just mentioned Jesus blessing the children. Listen to this passage from Mark chapter 10, verses 13 and following. We read that mothers were bringing children to him that he might touch them, and the disciples rebuked them. But when Jesus saw it, he was indignant and said to them, "Let the children come to me. Do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it." And then verse 16, "And Jesus took them in his arms and blessed them." Jesus took these children in his arms and pronounced on them the goodness of God in their lives. That's what a blessing is. It's a prayer for God's goodness in the life of the one being blessed. Here's our second question. Should you bless others? We now know what a blessing is, so should you bless others? Well, first, the biblical pattern indicates that you should bless others. As I've already mentioned, the concept of blessing others can be found throughout the Bible, from Genesis all the way to Revelation. We see examples from Abraham, from Isaac, from Jacob, to Moses and Aaron, to David and Solomon, to the Old Testament prophets and the New Testament apostles, and to Jesus himself. So rather than looking at all those verses, although we'll touch on some and points here in a few moments, let's just conclude that based on the prolific expressions and examples of Scripture, that I believe the biblical pattern indicates that you should bless others. If we were to look for a pattern that would be repeated throughout the Scriptures and say, is this what God wants from us? I think we can conclude this would be something that is consistent. Point B, God commands that you pray for others. God commands that you pray for others. Now you might think, wait a minute, Pastor Keith, that's a different subject because I can pray without blessing. That may be true, but can you bless without praying? We've already defined a blessing as a prayer for God's goodness in the life of another. So we are actually communicating to God about the needs of this other person or our desires for this other person. And of course, when it comes to prayer, we have plenty of evidences that the Scriptures tell us that we are to pray for others. God wants us to pray for others. Indeed, as we've just finished our lengthy section on the armor of God, we saw in chapter 6 of Ephesians, verse 18, that we are to be praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. So we know we are to be praying. We are to be praying for others. And if you go to verse 19 of that context, Paul says, pray for me. And we know that by application, that means that we are to pray for our spiritual leaders. So yes, we should be praying for others. We also see in James 5:16 that we are to pray for one another. And the context indicates that that's praying for one another for healing and forgiveness. To pray for one another that they would be healed. To pray for one another that God's forgiveness would be on them. In Romans chapter 10, verse 1, Paul says, my prayer to God for the lost is that they may be saved. Now, in this case, he says, my prayer to God for Israel. So he is specifically focusing on one particular section of the lost. But we already know that Paul's desire was to reach all people with the good news of Jesus Christ. So he would not restrict his prayers to only praying that Israel would be saved, but that all the lost would be saved. And that's a pattern that we also should be praying. All of that is praying for others. And since such prayers are primarily intended to see those for whom we pray experience God's will in their lives, and since being in God's will is always a good thing, then when I pray that God's will is done in the life of another, I am actually blessing that person. I am praying that that person would experience the blessing of being in the middle of God's will. So our prayers for others are effectively prayers of blessings. So it's not a stretch to conclude that God's command to pray for others effectively means it's a command to bless others. God even phrases it this way several times in the Bible. Consider point C, God commands you to bless others. And we'll look at one verse in particular, two verses together, Luke 6, 27 and 28, where Jesus said, I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. He specifically tells us to bless those who curse us. Well, we're going to come back to this shortly, but I want you to note that we already know it is right to bless others because God specifically commands us to bless others. So here's the third question. Are blessings conditional? Are blessings conditional? Are they dependent upon something? Is there a contingency built into blessings? And I'm going to have to answer this with several different points. So consider this first of all. Some God-breathed blessings were prophetic. And here I'm thinking specifically of Old Testament blessings. Some God-breathed Old Testament blessings were prophetic. Why do I use the expression God-breathed? The Bible tells us in 2 Timothy that all Scripture is God-breathed. It comes from the mouth of God. And since we read these Old Testament blessings, then they are recorded in Scripture, and we know that these are God-breathed. In Genesis 27, near the end of his life, Isaac blessed Jacob, not only fulfilling an earlier prophecy that we found back in Genesis 25, but also prophetically predicting how God would use Jacob to accomplish his divine plan of salvation. Genesis 27:27 says, Isaac blessed Jacob and said, "See, the smell of my son is as the smell of a field that the Lord has blessed. May God give you the dew of heaven and of the fatness of the earth and plenty of grain and wine. Let peoples serve you and nations bow down to you. Be Lord over your brothers, and may your mother's sons bow down to you. Cursed be everyone who curses you, and blessed be everyone who blesses you." Now, I'm not going to go try to unfold that whole passage for you. That would be a series in itself. But I just want us to note that as Jacob was being used, or as Isaac was being used by God to bless Jacob, he was uttering prophecies of how God was going to fulfill his plan to bring about salvation. In Genesis 48 and 49, we see on his deathbed that Jacob blessed his son and the brothers there, Joseph and his brothers, and foretold what would happen with each son in the generations to come. So in Genesis 48:15, Jacob blessed Joseph and his sons, and you can read that context there. And then in chapter 49, verse 1, Jacob called his sons and said, "Gather yourselves together that I may tell you what shall happen in the days to come." Now, you might argue as you come to chapter 49 that reading through that list isn't all blessing. There's some pretty harsh things that God has to say about what's going to happen to them using this prophetic utterance. But it's all in the context of this final word that was spoken by Jacob to his sons. So what we see is that some blessings were prophetic. That is to say, God used them to announce things that would be coming in the future, and he fulfilled those prophetic utterances later on. But that's not necessarily to be seen as the consistent nature of all blessings anytime that's employed. As a matter of fact, I would suggest to you, point B, that many biblical blessings were conditional. Many biblical blessings were conditional. Now I'm going to take you back to Deuteronomy 27 and 28, and we're not going to read all of this context. I'll just pick out a couple of verses. If you haven't read that, you need to read the whole passage because it's kind of astounding. But here's the situation. Deuteronomy 27, verse 11. Keep in mind, the people are getting ready to go into the promised land, and as they're preparing to go in, this is what God tells Moses to say. So, 27:11, "That day Moses charged the people, saying, 'When you have crossed over the Jordan, these shall stand on Mount Gerizim to bless the people.'" So picture this. There's a mountain, Mount Gerizim. And he says, "I want the heads of these families, these tribes, to stand there. These shall stand on Mount Gerizim to bless the people: Simeon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, Joseph, and Benjamin." So the heads of these tribes are going to be there. "And these shall stand on Mount Ebal." So here's another mountain, close proximity. We got all the people of Israel, Mount Gerizim to bless, and then Mount Ebal. And he says, "These shall stand on Mount Ebal for the curse: Reuben, Gad, Asher, Zebulun, Dan, and Naphtali." Doesn't mean those tribes are going to be cursed. He's just divided up these tribes, and we're going to have the heads of each of these tribes come, and they're going to pronounce the blessings or the curses that God has designated. Now, as we move ahead into that, we come to chapter 28, verse 1, and we read, "If you faithfully obey the voice of the Lord your God, being careful to do all His commandments that I commanded you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you if you obey the voice of the Lord your God. Notice, this is a conditional blessing. And as you read on in that passage, then he gives all of these blessings and all kinds of wonderful things. So he says, if you obey, here's all the great things that are going to happen. Here's the ways God is going to pour out his goodness on you. If you obey. It's conditional. Not everybody's going to get this. And then we go to chapter 28, verse 15. And we got those over on Mount Gerizim who say, if you will not obey the voice of the Lord your God, or be careful to do all his commandments and his statutes that I'm commanding you today, then all these curses shall come upon you and overtake you. And if you read the rest of that passage, you're going to see curse after curse after curse after curse. Terrible, awful things that are going to happen. Now it's interesting to note that all of the people are gathered, all of the children of Israel getting ready to go into the promised land. And God has these tribes read out the blessings. Everybody heard the blessings. They were pronounced over all of the people. And God has these tribes read out the curses. Everybody heard the curses. Those curses were pronounced over all of God's people. And they're conditional. You're going into the promised land. If you do what is pleasing to God, you get the blessings. If you reject, you get the curses. Those are the options. In John chapter 13, Jesus said, verse 17, if you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. See, Jesus was teaching truth. He is God. The Word of God is what He spoke. Everybody heard the words, and there are those who thought, what a blessing to hear these words. Jesus said, you have heard these things. Now blessed are you if you do them. That's a conditional blessing. Oh, we could argue that there was a bit of blessing just by being able to hear them, but that's also part of the curse. That is that you heard and you rejected, so you are more liable. But if you obey, if you do these things, Jesus said, you will be blessed. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 16, Paul says, as for all who walk by this rule, peace and mercy be upon them. Well, what is this rule? He's given them biblical instructions on how to live a godly life. So he says, as for all who follow the biblical instructions about living a godly life, peace and mercy be upon them. In other words, I'm about to pronounce a blessing, but if you are not attempting to live a godly life in Christ Jesus, this blessing doesn't apply to you. It's conditional. It has to do with whether or not you're doing what is right. So as I bring us then to the 21st century, I have to conclude point C, that most blessings today will be conditional. Most blessings today will be conditional. Now I'm going to call your attention to an odd little verse in Proverbs chapter 26. It's an interesting parallel because a curse, like a blessing, is conditional. It's contingent on the character of the person being cursed. And let me just pause for a moment to say this. As I was working through this message, and anytime you start thinking about blessings, if you do some scripture study, you're going to have to deal with the issue of cursing as well. Now, all of us know what a cuss word is. And unfortunately, just mentioning it means that certain things have popped into our heads. And I'm sorry that that is true. It just shows the level of depravity that is in our world today. But we all know what a cuss word is. And cuss is simply an abbreviated form of the word curse. So a curse is this negative thing. And indeed, even as we think about what is arguably the most common curse word, it is the word damn. And damn is connected to damnation, and it has to do with someone or something, but typically someone being damned to spend eternity in hell. And so indeed, the very common terminology in our culture of saying damn with regards to a certain person is, in essence, you asking God to send that person to hell to suffer for eternity. Now, you may think to yourself, well, that's not really what I meant. And I would say, then don't use the word, because that is what that means. But here's what we read in Proverbs. Chapter 26, verse 2. Like a sparrow in its flitting, like a swallow in its flying, a curse that is causeless does not alight. In other words, you can curse someone, but if that is a righteous person, your curses are not going to take effect on that person. God will not allow that to happen. So a curse is conditional. Well, similarly, a blessing is conditional. To invoke God's blessings on someone who has no love for God is clearly in opposition to God's revealed will. If I don't know the condition of another person's heart, I can bless, but God will decide whether or not that blessing sticks. Because if that person is rejecting what God desires, my blessing on them is not going to stick, because God knows the heart. So we read in 1 Corinthians 16:22, if anyone has no love for the Lord, let him be accursed. Our Lord come. And then verse 23, the grace of the Lord Jesus be with you. My love be with you all in Christ Jesus. Amen. So Paul wraps up this letter, 1 Corinthians, with a curse and a blessing. Obviously, the conditions are in place. If anyone has no love for the Lord, he is under the Lord's curse. And then he moves on, the grace of the Lord Jesus be with you. Be with who? Be with those who do have love for the Lord. There's the condition. It's not like you can open the scriptures and read a verse and immediately your life is going to be abundantly blessed. No, it has to do with what we do. It has to do with our own hearts. I can ask God to bless someone, but if that person is stubbornly refusing to allow God's will to be at work in his life, to follow God's design, then that blessing may not be realized, at least not to its full extent. So this begs the question, number four, are blessings effectual? Are such blessings effectual? And what I mean by that is, do your blessings produce actual results in the lives of others? We all know what it is when someone sneezes and everybody in the room says, bless you. Okay, does all of a sudden their life get a whole lot better? Or is that just trite words? Do your blessings create some sort of a positive effect in the life of another? Point A, effectual blessings depend on the response of the blessee. You heard me right, the blessee. If Pastor Caleb is allowed to make up words, then so can I. Effectual blessings depend to a great degree on the response of the blessee, that is, the one who is being blessed, the one over whom a blessing has been pronounced. Now, going back to the Deuteronomy passage, 27 and 28, God appointed that blessings be made over all the people along with the curses, but those blessings were conditional, based on the response of the blessee. If, verse 1 of chapter 28 says, if you faithfully obey the voice of the Lord your God, all these blessings shall come upon you. If, that means it's the response of the blessee. Here's the blessings. They are being pronounced. Everyone hears them. Do you get them? Well, you do if you faithfully obey the voice of the Lord. Otherwise, no, you don't get those blessings. We're all familiar with the Beatitudes, Matthew chapter 5, where Jesus pronounced a series of blessings. Blessed are the poor in spirit. And you could go on through that list and see all the great things. But just consider what Jesus was saying, because it was contingent upon the heart of the blessee. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are those who are persecuted. As we look through this list, it's not like everybody that was out there was going to receive these blessings. He was pronouncing blessings over them, but for example, the one had to do with being pure in heart. So if you're not pure in heart, you miss that blessing. And we go through each of those Beatitudes and we see there's a condition here. You have to be in a right relationship with God. You have to have a right heart and a right frame of mind. The blessing Jesus pronounced would only alight, to use the expression from Proverbs 26, on those who rightly responded to His teaching by faith. If they did not respond properly, then those blessings would not alight. But it is also true, point B, that effectual blessings depend on the heart of the blesser, the one giving the blessing, the blesser. Effectual blessings depend on the heart of the blesser. James 5:16 says, "The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working." We've already established that a blessing is really a prayer. A blessing is a prayer for God to show His goodness to another person. So we could likewise say, the blessing of a righteous person has great power as it is working. What we see is that blessing someone is not simply a magic formula that if you say the right words in the right order, then all of these things are going to come about. A blessing, indeed like any prayer, is only as effective as the spiritual condition of the one who is doing the blessing or the praying. Just saying the words does not make them so. In Luke chapter 18, and I'm not going to read this context right now. You can go back and look at it, verses 9 through 14. But in Luke 18, Jesus gives the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. And it shows that the prayers of the self-righteous Pharisee were nothing but hot air. As a matter of fact, at least one translation translates it as, "The Pharisee went up and prayed thus with himself." He wasn't talking to God. He was just praying with himself. Hot air coming out. He wanted everybody to hear what a great person he was, but he wasn't talking to God. That was empty words. So in light of that context, any blessings that he may pronounce upon another would essentially be ineffectual because God wasn't listening to him. He wasn't talking to God. It has to do with the heart of the blesser. I can say, "May God bless you," but if my heart is not right with God, God's not hearing those prayers. He is not going to put those things into effect. So yes, there's a condition involved. I must have a right heart in addition to the heart of the blessee being right. That brings me to the last question for this morning. Whom should you bless? Whom should you bless? And I'm going to give you a suggestion of several different people, circumstances in which we would pronounce blessings. Here's your first one. Bless your children in their youth and in your old age. Bless your children in their youth and in your old age. So taking a page from the playbook of the patriarchs, I have to believe that invoking God's blessings on your children is a good thing. Oftentimes the naming of a child in the Old Testament was an expression of blessing on that child, asking that God would show goodness to this child. As we think about that in our own context, when our children are born, even before they're born, I think it's appropriate for us to pray God's blessings on them. To begin to pray when we know we're expecting that little one, when that little one finally comes, to pray for this baby and invoke God's blessings on that child. And as they grow up through those toddler years, to pray, "Please, God, bless this little one." And pray specific things that we're going to talk about more next week. But pray for them, asking God's goodness to be poured out on them. When they get to be teenagers, it feels like a little bit different story. But I still suggest that we keep praying for them because it's the right thing to do. We pray for them in their youth. And I've also added that you pray for them in your old age. Going back to the youth part, I think of that verse that we were looking at with Jesus in Mark chapter 10, where he says, "Let the children come to me." And Jesus took them in his arms and blessed them. You know, it's appropriate for you to take those little ones in your arm and bless them. And as you get into your golden years, and you're looking at your children who are now grown, your grandchildren, maybe they're small, maybe they're grown, some of you are looking at great-grandchildren, what a wonderful thing it would be is if each of us on this Grandparents Day were committed to praying for our kids and asking God's blessings on them. As grandparents, we don't have to have people tell us we ought to pray for our grandkids. Most of us think about that because our concern is very much about where they're going in life, and we want God's best on them. But I think as we pray those blessings, that's appropriate biblically, that you should be praying for God to pour out His blessings on these. If you've got a child who does not yet know the Lord, a grandchild who does not yet know the Lord, what are you praying for that grandchild? Oh, sometimes we pray, Lord, help them get a good job, help them do this, do that, do the other. But we really ought to be praying, first and foremost, God, bring them to Yourself, that they might know Jesus. Because any other blessing is just temporal, but that blessing is eternal. And sometimes we pray those prayers and conviction happens in the hearts and lives of those little ones or those young people. And that may not feel like a blessing, but it actually is, because God uses that conviction to draw him to Himself, draw them to Himself. Secondly, bless those in positions of authority. Bless those in positions of authority. Sometimes we have people in a position of authority that we really don't want to see blessed. But I look back at Genesis 47, verse 10, where Jacob in his old age is brought before Pharaoh, and we're told that Jacob blessed Pharaoh. Now, Pharaoh was not a part of the people of God. He was an authority figure. And granted, he had shown kindness to this family, and that's appropriate, but Jacob blessed Pharaoh, this position of authority, regardless of what his beliefs may have been. And indeed, we read in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and all who are in high positions, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. As a part of that, we're praying for God to bless those who are in leadership positions. And of course, the greatest blessing of all would be for them to come to faith in Jesus. So we pray for that regularly. Bless those doing the work of the Lord, point C. Bless those doing the work of the Lord. And specifically, I'm thinking about those who are in full-time ministry. Not to say that others are not doing the work of the Lord, but for the sake of argument, let's just say right now, we're thinking about blessing those who are doing the work of the Lord in full-time ministry. Paul writes to Timothy, and keep in mind that Timothy was a pastor. He was pastoring a church. And as Paul wrote to him, he started 1 Timothy with these words, 1 Timothy 1, verse 2. To Timothy, my true child in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. He asked God's blessings on young Pastor Timothy. I think that's a wonderful thing for folks to be doing. Matter of fact, I would say to you, if you want to jot this down, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, and pray that for me every day, I'll be thankful for that. That'd be a wonderful thing. Pray for those who are your spiritual leaders, those who are doing the work of the Lord. And I realize sometimes we do things that you may wish that we didn't do. You can pray about those too, but pray for God's blessings, because God's going to work out His will and all that. And let's move the parameters way out now as we go to point D, and bless all those whom God is using for His purposes. Bless those whom God is using for His purposes, not just those who are in full-time ministry, but those who are trying to do the right thing. Those who are trying to be put into practice the lessons that they're learning through their own Bible studies and through the sermons. Bless those whom God is using for His purposes. In Exodus chapter 39, God has given a lot of instructions through Moses. Moses has delivered those to the people of God. And we read in verse 42, according to all that the Lord had commanded Moses, so the people of Israel had done all the work. And Moses saw all the work, and behold, they had done it. As the Lord had commanded, so they had done it. Then Moses blessed them. They were doing the work of the Lord. Some of it may not have been glorious. Some of it may have been more menial, tedious, like we've talked about in previous weeks. But they were doing it. And Moses blessed them. We should bless those whom God is using for His purposes. Bless our nursery workers who work through the nursery time, the preaching time with these little ones. Bless those who are cleaning the facilities during the week. We should be thinking about all of those whom God is using for His purposes and pray God's blessings on them. Psalm 118 verse 26 says, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord." Now that context in the New Testament seems to indicate that perhaps this was really focusing on John the Baptist and especially on Jesus himself coming in the name of the Lord. But I think that by application, we can look at anyone who comes in the name of the Lord. That is to say, they're doing what they do because they're just trying to do what God wants them to do. And they're trying to do it with the right heart. They are being used by God for His purposes. We should bless them. Point E, bless the assembly of God's people. Bless the assembly of God's people. In Ephesians chapter 6, our context verses say, verse 23 and 24, "Peace be to the brothers and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be to all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with love incorruptible." And when he says to the brothers here, that doesn't mean he's only blessing the males in the congregation. This was more of a generic term, even though it is talking about the brothers. But by application, it referred to the whole congregation, brothers and sisters. He's saying, blessed be my church family. Blessed be this group of believers who are gathering together here in Ephesus. Grace be with all of you who love our Lord Jesus Christ. Going back to Numbers chapter 6, the Lord spoke to Moses, verse 22. Saying, verse 23, "Speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, thus you shall bless the people of Israel. You shall say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace." This was those who were gathered, the congregation. The word that we regularly use here is that we are the church. If you're from a Hispanic background, you got a different word from that. What is that word? Iglesia, which is the closest that we can get to the Greek word, which is ekklesia. And the word ekklesia literally means the called out ones. So we're thinking about the world at large, and then God calls people to himself. And those called out ones are those who gather together, they assemble together to worship God. We right now are the called out ones. We have been called out and we assemble here as God's people to worship. And we are to bless God's people. You as our church family. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, Peter writes, "To those who are elect exiles of the dispersion." The dispersion was specifically talking about Jewish Christians who were spread all over the world because of persecution. But by application, this would be all believers. And listen to what he says. "To those who are elect exiles of the dispersion, may grace and peace be multiplied to you." So this is really a blessing over God's people. May grace and peace be multiplied to you. And that's the way we need to bless one another, is to pray for God's blessings on His people. And then finally, going back to what we mentioned earlier, bless those who persecute you. We read from Luke chapter 6, verses 27 and 28, Jesus said, "I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you." Now, in some ways, this sounds kind of like it's a contradiction to what we said earlier. If a blessing is contingent, and God obviously does not want to show good things necessarily to those who are refusing to worship Him and who are rejecting Him, then how can He tell us to bless those who persecute us? Persecuting us, we assume, is because we're trying to do the right thing in God. And now we've got our enemies who want to make our lives miserable because of that. I should bless them? And the answer is yes, because that's what God says. Yes, as opposed to what? As opposed to cursing them, which is what perhaps our human inclination is, so that when someone treats us that way, what do we want to do? We want to treat them in kind. We want to pay them back for the evil that they've done. 1 Peter 3:9 says, "Do not repay evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, bless, for to this you were called, that you may obtain a blessing." So yeah, there seems to be a little bit of a a difference between whether or not God is going to allow that blessing to light and the fact that he has told us to offer the blessing. But the bottom line is, we just do what God has said and let him work out the details. Don't curse those around you. Don't curse your enemies. Don't revile them. Don't say evil things about them because they've said evil things about you. You bless them because that's what the Bible says. So we've studied the Word this morning to find answers to these five questions regarding the idea of benediction or blessing. You may now be confident that being a blessing is a good thing. It's a biblical thing to do. And you may also be wondering, well, what is the right thing for me to say when I bless someone? Well, join us next week as we look a little more closely at these two verses in Ephesians to answer the question, what should your blessings convey? Lord, I thank you for reminding us today that we are blessed, first and foremost, and secondly, that we are called to be a blessing. And that at times that means we are going to bless others, even on a regular basis. This may not be our regular practice right now, but perhaps even as a result of our study this morning in your Word, you're showing us that this can and should be a part of our regular daily life. Help us, Lord, to bless those around us as your Word tells us to do. And we thank you, Lord, that you are a God of blessing. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.